on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One with Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Kia ora and g'day rugby league fans, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show and we are getting ready for the 2017 season, or some of us are. Leon Price and Luke Robinson are in the house tonight.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good evening, Rob.
You guys alright?
All good, all good.
Leon's still alive. Robbo, you're still twitching because of the game next weekend?
I'm always, yeah, twitching still.
Alright, tonight's show we'll continue on to discuss the latest going on up at the Bulls, as well as importantly looking at the wider game. So let's get right into it. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
All right, straight from the top, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we actually have a very busy studio here tonight. Not only have we got the legends that are Leon Price and Luke Robinson, the little general and the Earl of Rugby League himself, but we've also got two of Bradford Bulls stars. Two more of Bradford Bulls stars. That's Amari Caro and Ross Peltier. Welcome, boys. Welcome. Round of applause. Now, to be honest, we always give a round of applause if you're new to the show. Amari, you've already been on the show before. Ross, welcome to the show. How's it going, boys? Lean into the mic. Look at them.
It's going so good cool. So far. As good as it can be, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not as positive as Ross, but I'm still here. I'm still smiling.
I don't believe that, Amari. You're a positive person. Someone exudes positivity.
That's news to me, mate.
That's news, is it? Oh, because you're cool. I've got to admit, Robbo, when you walked into the room, did you not think that we actually had a boy band on?
Yeah, but well, you're not part of the boy band. You're like the manager, you know what I mean? You're that old now.
The greasy little manager.
With his suit on, just making money signs.
Boys to men, boys to men.
Balls
to men.
Balls to men. I'm throwing it out at the moment. I'm the guy that takes 90% and they give them 10% and say, that's all we got, boys. That's all we got. All right, well, I was going to hold off to the second segment, but let's talk about what's going on up at the Bulls. How are you guys? Are you guys in a training at this point in time? Are you cracking on as usual?
Yeah, I've been training today. Just try to get on with it or keep ticking over, you know, best we can, really.
Yeah, we had a bit of time off over Christmas just to, you know, try and get heads right around what was going on. But I think a lot of the lads that are still here wanted to get back training because, you know, it's end of the day, it's our jobs. So, no, we've been training today, training tomorrow, and, you know, just taking every day as it comes.
Well, as we know, the club was liquidated, was it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago? Who's paying the bills? You guys got to live. So how are you guys being able to function?
I think we've had help from RL Cares. They've been, like, amazing for us at this time. You know, they've helped us out with covering us bills and keeping roof over his head for past month. So, you know, hopefully it all gets resolved so we get paid at end of the month, really.
But you guys are just cracking on, business as usual.
Yeah, well, we're doing what we can. You know, as Ross said, RL Care stepped in and helped us out because I don't think there was anyone in charge at the club, you know, to sort of sort the finance situation out. So thanks to them. But yeah, we're just doing what we can do, you know, training to our schedule and just staying fit because, you know, the season starts in 3 or 4 weeks. So doing what we can do.
So what about in regards to things like health insurance? Obviously, what these guys do on a day-to-day basis is high collision impact. Injuries comes with that. So in regards to insurances, medical insurance, that sort of coverage, who's paying for that?
I think that our cover from last month is still in place. I think that's still
paid by the administrator, I think.
Okay.
Obviously, that was the one thing that we needed is insurance so that we could train. Otherwise, there is no team.
Yeah.
So I think that was paid and that's carried over into January.
So the preparation, there was quite a hefty schedule lined up for the Bulls in regards to pre-season friendlies. We're talking this weekend, we're supposed to be the match against Batley. Do you know if that's going to go ahead?
It's looking like it's not going to go ahead. I don't think we've really got sufficient players. We've got no contracts. We've got to really look after the players that we have got. So mm-hmm. I think it's out there in the media now already that I don't think we'll be playing.
As you were saying, that Robbo was shifting really uncomfortably in his seat right now because obviously Robbo's testimonial and the match is up next weekend. Is it? What day is it?
It's supposed to be the 22nd next weekend. Look, obviously, it's been very testing for me, but obviously mine's sort of pales in significance to theirs. You know, theirs are their actual job. Mine's a little bit of a, it's a bit of a farewell to the game is my testimony. It's a really nice way to say goodbye to the fans, and I've really enjoyed it, really. It's probably made my transition, you know, in going into retirement a little bit easier as my testimonial, because it's been a bit of more of a slower process, and I've managed to say goodbye over and not look. I'd be absolutely devastated if I didn't get my game. But like I said before, it pales in significance to these boys, who it's the jobs at the end of the day. Not only them, I really do feel for the Bradford fans, you know, that the what they've had to go through, and we're forever saying that, you know, rugby league's it's a family environment, and we look after each other. And I think more than anything else is I hope they get sorted, one for the boys, but I just think for the fans and the club in general, we can't afford to lose Bradford as for the sport.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You would argue for the Bradford fans, though, if the game does go ahead next weekend. A positive thing is all the players that they're used to seeing, they'll get to see once again, because all the players that have left have gone to Huddersfield.
Yeah, you know, and I've been getting a bit, I got a little bit of stick for that on obviously Twitter when I mentioned that, you know, potentially the game is still going ahead, and obviously I've got to start planning like it is.
No, of course.
It's, you know, it'd be easier to cancel than it is to actually arrange. So I got a little bit of stick off the Bradford fans when they were saying that.
Oh, look, Bradford fans, can I just ask you, look after him. He's, you know, I know he looks like a hard, tough, you look at his face, he's a bit beaten up, but he's an emotional man on the inside. So look after
character,
him.
Character,
you know?
My face has got character up. But yeah,
I don't think, you know, you guys obviously in the mix, you guys train alongside the majority of these guys that have left over the course of the last, 4 or 5 months. You mustn't hold anything against them. Obviously, it's the business of sport, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say to them, I hope they've got insurance, because if we play them, they're going to...
Yes! There we go! Look what about Amari, who stands out on the wing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Muscly linesman.
I've said Ross after him. I'm friends with him anyway. Yeah.
There'll be a few words probably spoken off each other, I guess.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, the gauntlet has been tossed down. That's what you want to hear, though, isn't it, Robbo?
Let's get a bit of spike to the game. Let's get some media.
We're talking about UFC, we're talking about modern contemporary sport. Let's create some energy. So, Ross, what are you going to do to all those guys in the middle of the park? Ross, to be honest, you're a front rower. Yeah. You know, you're a big donkey in the middle.
I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook this week. He's been described as the Jamaican juggernaut.
Yeah. That's a new one to me. I heard that one this week.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Jamaican juggernaut, but you got to live up to it. When people start giving you those sort of titles, you've got to live up to it. You've got to be an enforcer. The guy stands in the middle of the park and takes all the knocks and gives the knocks.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking to do, really.
thing is, Robert, I know he's not saying much, but Ross is a Bradford lad as well. He's grown up in Bradford.
Yep.
And he was at the club when he was a young lad. He's gone away. I think he went to Huddersfield for a bit, Keighley, other places. But now, really, this is his dream chance to play for Bulls, the club that he's always supported. He used to be a ball boy, so he's very much, you know, a Bradford lad and looking forward to take his chance.
He's followed the same pathway as yourself.
He is. He's told Rowan that he'll play for free.
No.
Okay, backtracking.
Words getting twisted.
I think
my position to some other lads, without the thinking about things, is a bit different, because me, like, since I was a kid and I signed here at like 12-year-old, I've just wanted to pull a Bradford shirt on, and it's close at time games now, and that's all I want to do. I just want to play. Like, so when people think, I don't insurance, I'm not bothered about I just want to play. That's all.
I absolutely love that. And for the position that you play, obviously you play in the middle of the park, and when we're throwing the gauntlet down, you are the guys that go for all of that. It's Amari who stands out on the wing, talking to the supporters on the sidelines, asking them what they're up to afterwards, is actually throwing the gauntlet down for you. That's good fun for us.
Yeah.
And then you've got Leon as well. You know, two types of rugby players. Piano pushes yourself, piano no players. Well, this is a piano player radio show, you see. Yeah. All of us, none of us like to get dirty. Actually, if you look at Robbo's face, you can tell. Look at all those scars. You can tell that he used to like to get dirty. He did. So as a new boy, and a Bradford boy as well, going through the trials and tribulations of what you've had to experience over the last couple of months, that must be tough. Really surprising, and not really how you wanted your Bradford experience to be like.
Yeah, it's not how I wanted it to go. Like, obviously, I hoped it would have been a lot smoother, and we'd just had the perfect pre-season, you know, and I'd have been in perfect shape and been playing. But you know, we've been working hard when we can. We've been
did you say perfect shape?
I said I wish I wanted to get to
Ross,
it.
What is the perfect shape to you?
Well, I don't know. Okay, could be a long list of things, you know, change, but no, yeah, it's not been smoothest ride. But I mean, for me, I've had a difficult past few years, and you know, this, to be honest, I've been doing something I enjoy in between it, so it's made it a lot easier, I guess.
All right, all right. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break now. When we come back, we'll continue on all the Bradford Bulls chat, as well as looking at some of the other hot topic from around the sport. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Join the biggest names in the game for the latest news, special guests, and opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the RHP Show, looking at all the sports' hottest topics, and I guess the hottest topic is what's going on with the Bradford Bulls now. Now, the first thing I want to say is the Bulls are not dead. I think it's really important that we get that message out there, because there's been a lot of sentiment just, you know, going around, especially on social media, the death of the Bulls, et cetera, et cetera. The Bulls are not dead. The holding company for Bulls Northern Limited is liquidated, but the club is a lot more than a holding company. And I think having you guys in the studio talking about how life is actually, you know, continuing on, the team's preparing as well as it can in these special circumstances, actually is proving that the club is not dead. The support base is out there. They're very vocal. They're actually having a dig at Robbo as well because of his connections with Huddersfield Giants.
They were all right, to be fair. They weren't too harsh with me, but I kind of understand them a little bit. We have took a few of the players.
Just six.
It works in two directions. Yes, clubs are going to be attracted to certain members of the team, but the reality is also those players they need to provide.
But the problem for me, Robbie, is the reason why fans start questioning and things start getting made up on social media is because we're now in that state of limbo again. Before we were waiting for the answer, are we going to be administration? Are we going to come out of it? Are we going to get taken over? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Boom, liquidation. Right, finally, we've got news. We've been liquidated. Now we can move forward. We can reform as a new club. Let's get on with it. Now we're on Wednesday, we've still got no answer. Everybody started to get frustrated again. It's been in limbo, and that's the worst bit for the fans and the players. Well, for speaking personally, this is the worst bit, not knowing what the hell's going on. We don't know if we're going to play a battle this weekend. We don't know if we're going to play Robbo's team next week. We just want an answer.
I like that, because actually you must have been looking at my notes, Leon, because that's like a seamless link. Seamless link into their next part, because obviously we're then looking at what the governing body, because they are now the decision makers. They hold the players' registrations, they hold the license to the club, they also hold the 150-year lease for the ground, the stadium in which to play. So last week, they posted on the website the criteria in regards to what an organisation or a group or a person would need to actually take over the club. And I just wanted to go through that, have a little bit of a look at what that means. And then just added just 2 days ago, they confirmed that they are assessing 4 official bids to create a new professional rugby league club in Bradford. So there has been some stages and mentions of people coming forward. I think last week they said there were 10 interested parties.
Now it's down to 4.
Now it's come down to 4 that have actually put an official bid in. And based on this criteria, because this is what it was put out last week, the information that is required, a business plan, ideally with a 3-year budget forecast and proof of funds, having experience in running a sports club, proposals relating to playing staff and how recruitment for the start of the season will happen regarding, you know, there's only 4 weeks before the actual kickoff from the start of the season. They're able to pass a fit and proper person's test. Some type of further guarantee. Now, in the past, it has been, it may not be exactly what they're asking for now, but in the past it has been things like a personal guarantee from the chairman of certain funds that are going in. So obviously the governing body, for example, will guarantee that X amount of pounds are going to be
whilst we do need these chicks, and obviously it's imperative that we get the right person in, because we don't want the same mistakes happening again. But all this takes time, and all the time that this goes on, we're losing more and more players. So we could, you know, we've lost what, five, six, seven players so far.
I think it's six.
We could lose another two or three more if we don't act on this quickly. We could end up with no team. I know it's not through no fault of our own, but we want to be in a position where we at least want to compete for the season. We're already going to be on minus 12. All this process, this time-taking process, is just going to end up losing us more and more players.
Which is frustrating as a player. It's due diligence because, obviously, yeah. If you're going to invest millions of pounds, which is what it probably is going to need, you need to do your due diligence. The last thing that they were talking about was an academy system proposal. Now, on all of these, I think, for me, the most important one is having experience in running a sports club. I think that comes down to... I think that's hugely important because it's a very unique... I think that's one of the problems that a lot of owners in the past have got into trouble with is that they don't actually have experience in running... They may have lots of years in running businesses, but running something like a sports club is very, very different. And important, and Mario, maybe you can add a little bit of colour to this, is over the past couple of years, understanding the importance of it coming from the top and... dripping down through the organisation, getting the culture right. Because in regards to performing on the field, the culture within the squad is so, so important. And obviously, over this year, on paper, when you have a look at the Bradford Bulls, oh, sorry, not this year, 2016, the Bradford Bulls on paper should have been competing more. But there was a rumour coming out that there was something that was unsettled within the squad.
Yeah, well, on paper last year, the team, or if you look at the players that have moved on from last year, they've all moved on to Super League teams, which says a lot, you know. So, obviously, the team on paper was good enough to compete in that league. And I think we can all hold our hands up and say we didn't perform well last year or for large parts of the season. But, you know, without wanting to be too negative, I think you might be right about, like, there being an undercurrent of unhappiness. I don't know if that's the right word, but... Mm-hmm. For reasons which I can't explain, you know, myself. If as players you want to be told what's happening at the top, you don't need to know everything that's going on, but a bit of transparency between yourself and, you know, the board members helps. Mm-hmm. We heard rumours last year that we weren't going to get paid on time or stuff like that, and it filters through the team. So some lads who are on, you know, better contracts than others can survive without getting paid or not getting paid on time, but others it affects people differently. So last year there was a few, you know, towards the back end of the season, there was a lot of, I guess it's rumours, and just a lot of people just were generally unhappy because we didn't seem as players that we were getting told everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't help when you're trying to play well on the pitch. And
I think that's what's the important part. Leon, Robbo, you think about the Wigan team that you played in, the success from the years that you... When you were with Salford, the culture of the club during those times, it was all about everyone buying in, everyone mucking in together. The culture was thick. Leon, your time with the Bulls, your time with St. Helens.
My time at Bulls, my first in Bradford, the only thing I had to worry about was playing rugby. If I needed a TV, if I needed an hotel room, if I needed some new trainers, boots, if I needed a car, Debbie would sort it out straight away. So the only thing that I worried about was playing rugby, and I was so lucky.
So in effect, a lot of what you're talking about is any excuse was taken away from you. Your focus was 100% on doing the job.
That's all I had to worry about.
And I'm with her, and I'm going back to what Omaro just saying. People sometimes just, they look at professional athletes and they just think, all you should care about is your job, you know. Mm. As soon as you enter the field, it doesn't work like that. The human psychology just dictates that what goes on off the field obviously affects you on it. The very best players in the world have got a really good at leaving a lot of the baggage off the field, and they don't take it on with them. But when you're a human being, it's hard not to take it on. If you don't know if you're getting paid, you don't know if you're going to be able to pay the mortgage, you don't know if you're going to be able to put food on the table for your kids. Mm-hmm. Obviously that affects morale, and that affects the way you play.
I mean, yous were feeling the pressure of that last year as the Huddersfield Giants entered the Super 8 qualifiers.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know what I mean? We saw what a nervous wreck I was, you know, going in the latter end of the year. But for some reason, when it's professional sport, it's like I've seen loads of people all over the media, all over the Twitter and Facebook, all the professional athletes, it don't matter. Everyone goes out of work. Do you know what? Whether it's a plumber, electrician, I feel sorry for everybody that loses the job and if their company goes into administration. But... or liquidation, sorry, but for some reason professional athletes are somehow viewed different to everybody else. If it were my dad's business, for example, and they went bust and my dad didn't have a job, everyone would feel sorry for him. But for some reason, professional athletes somehow judge slightly different.
Maybe they're considered as being superhuman.
But the thing that really annoys me about the whole situation, about when, you know, players using their contracts and stuff, is people seem to think that 40 lads, and say there's 40 lads in a squad, all 40 of those lads will get a club in the next few days.
Yes.
But it does not work like that.
It does not work like that,
unfortunately.
And that's the important thing to understand is that you can say, yeah, okay, 40 players are going to go off and they're going to join Super League clubs, but that's not the effect. They're actually playing in the Championship right now. All but three teams are part-time. Everybody at the Bradford Bulls are contracted full-time. So effectively, every player, if they were to join another part-time team, they'll have to go and get another job, a job that they're probably not skilled at.
Yeah.
And that has an impact on how they perform on the field.
Well, when I left Hull KR at the end of 2014, it was sort of just, you know, without any warning. So I had to get a job. And although I felt sorry for myself for a long time, it was, you know, it sort of shaped me now. So I'm not panicking now as such. But, you know, it's not an ideal situation to be in.
All right, I want to stay on this this point. We're going to come back to it. I want to go to another break. And when we come back, we'll just catch up. We'll pick up where we left off. All right, so stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the little general, Luke Robinson. We also have Amari Caro and Ross Peltier in the show with us. It's a busy studio tonight. We've got our producer Ewan. Can't have a show without producer Ewan. And he's been running to and from his own house about every half an hour, all day today, because the wind blew his roof off his garage. The shed, sorry. It's not his garage. He doesn't have a shed anymore. He doesn't have a shed. What about the wind today? Isn't it incredible? Yeah. And you guys have been training in that today.
Balls were like plastic bags today, I tell you that. Like just throwing a Tesco bag in there. Was it? Blowing everywhere.
Leon's fringe was everywhere.
He couldn't stand up in it. He was struggling.
Blowing away in the wind, Leon.
Yeah, you could call it that, yeah.
We were just talking about players' life after rugby, dealing with the issues of being a professional sportsman. Robbo, you just had something to add to what you were saying before.
Yeah, I think, you know, when, as I spoke about before, you know, a lot of fans obviously go on down the line of the rugby players. It doesn't matter. That's everyday life. And what I would try to say is I feel sorry for everybody that goes in, you know, that has money troubles or the job's going to be put on the line. It's not... We're no different to anybody else that's in the modern, you know, in the world today. You know, we're in a sort of, the world's in an environment where loads of people are losing their job. You know, teachers are losing their job, plumbers are. So it's not that we want to be, you want to feel more sorry for us. I just feel like sometimes that, I don't know, professional athletes aren't viewed the same. And I'm not saying
what
you're
trying to say is everybody deserves a little bit of compassion.
Yeah, everyone does. No matter what you're a rugby player or you're a plumber or you're a teacher, whatever you are, I think everyone deserves a bit of compassion. I think sometimes that don't go along with the professional sport, but you know.
Why is that? Why?
I don't know.
Because we're seen to do a job that we're not doing a job, really, are you? You're doing something you love.
Love.
So
yeah.
You're lucky anyway, you lot. You're lucky. You play a game you bloody love for a living. Yeah? You should think yourselves lucky. Getting played to run around with the ball all day. You call that a job, do you? Got no club, have you? Well, you deserve it. that's just the attitude.
Why did your
people.
Accent get really broad, Yorkshire, then?
Because that's what people like, aren't they? Just not like it, do they?
And you know, there's nothing wrong with work. My whole family are working class and they work really hard at the jobs they do and they don't get paid much brass. And we're not saying there ain't anything wrong going that, but I think you hit the nail on the head. A lot of us rugby players, and it's probably a lot of us own fault, you know, you need to get skilled in other jobs, really. But you know, like, as Ross was saying, he comes straight out of school, he plays rugby, he's not got a trade.
It's not my fault I'm good at rugby. It's not your fault. It's not your fault that you're good at a sport that you get paid for. But you've got to understand the way that some people think is a lot of jealousy out there, isn't it? Like, they've got to go and graft for a living to earn tuppence, and you're running around with a ball at your feet, having good fun, getting paid fortunes. So that's why they don't have much compassion, because that's half the reason.
I think it's a mix of things. I think that definitely plays its part. There is an element of jealousy there, but there's also an element of what they experience sport to be like, and what sport to them is a hobby.
Yes.
for most people, sport is a hobby. It isn't
parts.
A lifestyle.
They only see the good parts.
Yeah, it's just something that you do fun, and you may train a couple of nights a week. Whereas actually the life of a professional sportsman, be it any code that they do, they dedicate themselves, it's actually extremely hard work. Yes, the mix of mummy and daddy's genes have given you specific tools that gives you an advantage over another person, but the hard work, your mindset, your psychological approach to it is what's been able to take you from the normal ranks of people into being an elite athlete.
And even things like not having any bank holidays for 20 years, not going on summer holidays, not going to your friend's stag do's, not going to weddings, not going to funerals. You miss out on
it's
so
very unsocial, isn't
you
it?
You miss out on a lot of things growing up, you know. But even when I was younger, not being able to go to the park with my friends, I was training or just do things that kids were doing when they were away.
But those are the sacrifices you have to make.
But you're willing to make them, and it's not a problem. But a lot of people don't see that side of it.
But that's why you got to get into coaching, like Robbo, and you can take a holiday whenever you want.
That would be nice.
He went on a 3-week holiday in the middle of summer.
Do you know what? I actually saw that.
His new coach turned up, and he went on a 2-week holiday out to Aussie.
I actually saw that with Baloo before we left, and nobody else knew about it.
The day Paul Anderson came in and announced that he was no longer being a part of the coaching setup at Huddersfield, Robbo said, "Oh, just tell them that I've got a 2-week holiday."
Cheers, Baloo. He looked after me there.
You give it the big tick. Ross, you were talking about you came straight out of high school, straight into the Bulls, and then signed professional papers with Huddersfield Giants, and then you were released from Huddersfield, and then what did you do? You're only a young man now. How old are you, 23?
24.
What were you doing during those years where you weren't a full-time professional?
I took first year of it. I went over to Oz. You know, they got like a bit of work and a bit of play for a bit of brass.
Who did you play for?
I went up in Whitsunday Islands. I played for Whitsundays in Mackay Comp. You know,
tough comp up there, physical.
Yeah, it was a good standard. There were a few players who were played in NRL like not long ago.
And they play that level. The grounds that they play on are like rocks.
Yeah, it was a hard pitch. Yeah, it was good. So I did that for a year, and then after that, I came home, and it was just like, what do I do? I've done everything. I've sold advertising. Did like PPI refunds, everything.
He's that guy that calls you.
I did that, and then I had to stop that.
There's a call center in Huddersfield somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah, I've done everything. I've made cardboard boxes. Literally out for some money I had to do.
We were like this weekend we were saying apparently for Playboys Batley will give you like half the gate. We're going, listen boys, I'm playing. So we had like only Ross Pelletier ready to play. If they're giving me money this weekend, I'm definitely playing. Hands up in the air like that. It ends up boys.
I
Ross
love
hands.
That enthusiasm.
Mate, where my missus is, I've got to.
What's your missus' name?
Emily.
Emily, yeah, I know you're listening.
Angel. Angel. He calls her Angel.
Angel. Oh, I love that even more.
He's been made redundant and she's fallen off to South Africa. Tell me how that one works.
Is she listening on the wireless? Is she on the internet listening?
No, she's in South Africa.
No, this is a global show.
You wouldn't be allowed if she found out.
Straight after training, home. You got half an hour. You got half an hour to get home. Is it one of those you get to that point where you're lying to your missus? You're telling her training doesn't finish till 3, but actually it's over by 12.
We get no days off in a week either.
No comment.
We train 7 days a week.
9 till 9.
That is literally what Brett Hodgson used to do. You know, his wife honestly has spoke to my wife. I thought we started training about 7:30, and we finished at 3:30. We're like, look. It didn't really know what to say.
Every day of the week, 7 days a week.
Class.
And a good night out at the end of it as well. Oh, my gosh. So life, actually, in preparation, it's interesting we talk about that because one of the biggest problems for professional rugby players in regards to looking after themselves, actually, you don't really get interested in you don't think about, and it's something that's a problem for professional athletes, is you don't think that the end will ever come. You know, you start out on that journey, you get your first professional contract, and you think to yourself, that's it. It's every step, you know, every step's going to be gold, and whether it's an injury, et cetera, or whatever. And I've worked with the player welfare elements of rugby league clubs. And one of the player welfare officers that I work with, he said his biggest problem is not getting the opportunities available for the lads, but it's actually the lads themselves. sticking around and taking and grasping the concept of those opportunities.
When you are young, you are right. You think you're Peter Pan and you just think it'll just go on forever. But
You think you're invincible, indestructible, and for so many people that becomes untrue.
Luckily for me, it dawned on me just as I obviously when you have children, it kind of changed your perspective on probably on life really. Mm-hmm. And I realised I actually had nothing. And it was Chris Charles, remember him? We were like a back rower. Yep. Back rower, played at Salford with me. And I rang him up. He's an old boy.
Hull lad,
yeah. And I rang him up. He's a great bloke. And I went, what are you up to now? He said, I'm an electrician. He said, although I'm a trainee electrician that can't get a job. I'm basically with all 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds. I think he's on a 30 quid a week. I said, can't get a job. And it really dawned on me then. You know, he had two young kids. He was, I think, about 33 at the time, 34. We know job, and I thought, and I actually went to university at the time and copied Jamie Jones Buchanan, Diskin, who at the Bulls, and Sinner.
Yeah.
I saw them and I saw that
sports business
a little
degree.
Bit. Yeah, I went down that line, did a bit more teaching and things like that. But it kind of hit home for me when I had a kid. But you are right. I speak to all the young lads now, and I think they just think now I'm a coach, I'm boring and old and all that stuff.
You are, which is true.
Probably. But I'm like, you know, I'm constantly on it. And look, this won't last forever. If you get an injury like me, it could be over. At any moment, you have to get some, but it's hard getting it into young lads.
In my brain now, I still can retire and never have to work again.
What do you mean?
That's how I think. Like, when I first started playing rugby, like, I'm going to play rugby for like 15, 16 years.
I'll make a million.
I'm going to make it to the top and I will never have to work again. I'll retire and I'm done. I'm still thinking like that now. I'm not waking
so
up to the truth.
So it's not an age thing.
Leon's 35. But it is scary, you know. When I was younger, before I had a wife and children, I thought, I'm going to make some money out of this game. I'm going to retire. But then I got a wife and I had kids. And now I'm going to have to keep on working for another 30 years.
That's it, Carl. Well, either you or Carly.
Well, one of us, yeah.
Keep doing those nails, Carly. Mari, what sort of real life experience work have you actually participated in? Out of all of it, what was your favourite?
I've been to university. That counts as real life because I used to go out on a night out every night of the week. You see a lot of things then. I've worked in retail. After I left home, I worked in retail for 3 or 4 months, which was quite difficult, to be fair.
Why was it difficult?
Oh, because it went from, you know what it's like in Hull. It's rugby mad. Everyone knows who you are, and people are stopping to say hello to you.
So psychologically, not physically, obviously.
Not physically,
psychologically.
No. I'd gone from, you know, playing in a Hull derby in front of 20,000 people to serving customers a pair of jeans, you know, and it's just, it messed with my head a little bit. So I was lucky, you know, when Jimmy Lowe's came calling, well, he called me and asked me what I was up to. I snatched at the opportunity because I needed to get back into it. Did a bit of sales work again, which wasn't for me. Didn't like being told what to do, you know, by like a skinny nerd, which was my boss. If you're listening, I don't like you still. But like growing up in London, a lot of lads I know have gone on to make a lot of money. And as people assume as a rugby player, Leon's a millionaire, you're going to make...
Only Leon. In this room, only Leon.
Well, Leon's the only millionaire I know, but it's an assumption. Like, growing up where I'm from, a lot of lads have done really well with sport and other sort of walks of life. So for me, you know, I need to win the lottery.
What he's trying to say about this is when he goes to the clubs on a Saturday night, he can't buy bottles. Everybody else can buy them bottles, you know, with flares coming out of them. They all walk around with bling-blinging champagne and popping it and squirting all over because they're on 60 grand a week. He can't do that.
You can tell he's old because he used the word bling-bling.
I'm going to lose it.
I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this. We're going to have to go to another break quickly. We're a minute over. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show and we'll be back with more. Bling-bling.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You know what, boys? Welcome back. Sorry. You know what, boys? This happens a lot. And actually, because you guys have all been on the show tonight, it was obvious it was going to happen again. I have a script that I try to stick to, but we're just basically throwing it out the window. But I think it's important we talk about some other stuff
topics.
From around the world of rugby league.
Hot topics.
Hot topics, that's it. Andy Lynch. Lynchy, you know, Leon and I play with him. Do you play with Lynch at all?
I have done at Castleford,
On loan. When you were struggling to find some form, is it? Yeah. Is that what they do? They farm you out?
Fat little 18-year-old, pretty much. And we were struggling at the time, so I went on loan to Castleford at 8 or 9 games.
Oh, that's all right. You're only a baby then, though.
Yeah, 18.
You love it, though, don't you?
Yeah, it's
just about getting first grade performances, isn't it?
I was just happy to be playing first team rugby. Right. You know what I mean? If they'd have told me to play anywhere, I'd have gone playing. But it was really good, you know, really good experience. Casper was struggling, to be fair. So yeah. It was a bit of an eye opener. It made me realise how privileged I was being at a club like Wigan.
Yeah.
Because it just made me realise how big it was and actually how much they looked after you and what it was like to be playing. At that time, we were playing against the Bradfords and Leeds in finals. And to go actually to Casper where you're really scrapping for your life, it was a bit of a wake up call, really, and made me think I don't want to be there.
Perform well.
No, it's just get back into it.
I mean, to be honest, it could have been tougher. You could have been like farmed out up to Workington and Whitehaven, going to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, do you know, I've been very fortunate in my career, really, that I've never actually gone up to Cumbria as a professional. You know, I've never been in Championship and gone to those Batleys and Jewsbury's and all them places.
Mate,
so,
they're tough places to go
and
play.
Yeah, they are. Everyone keeps telling me they are, so I've been very fortunate.
I don't want anyone to take it the wrong way that there's anything wrong with Cumbria, because I absolutely love Cumbria. And actually, my people are from Cumbria. Actually, they are from, not Maryport, from...
You don't even know where they're from, so they're not from there.
They are.
Actually, I'm trying to think of what's off his head.
That's not true. That's not true.
You, they're like, give me a town of Cumbria. Give me somewhere.
I was in a pub in Murfield, just in West Yorkshire. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, "Oh, we're related." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I'm your grandfather's nephew." And it was my mum's cousin. And my mum's never met him before. And I thought, what a little world this was. And he actually lived in Maryport. That's why I was.
Did you check him out? Or it might be some mad crank. Like off Alan Partridge, with all the pictures on his wall. You did check him out.
No, of course
yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. Actually, I've not been in touch with him as well. I'm one of those family members. Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll get in touch. We'll stay in touch. Yeah. I'd had a few beers at that point in time as well.
Top off, do it, Acker.
So Lynchy. Lynchy's going for the mantle of most Super League matches. He's on 433. And Kevin Sinfield made 454. So it's actually, it's a gettable target, isn't it? 21 games.
You're in the 400, aren't you, Leon?
4-2 somewhere.
Yeah, very jealous of that. We're a couple of seasons off. I really want to gain that.
Very exclusive club,
isn't
it? It's
a very exclusive club.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Reserved. It's a reserved club for just the best.
I don't like to talk about it too much because it's too big of a mantle. It's massive, isn't it?
It weighs down on you.
Yeah, it's good. I will look at how a lot of it comes down to looking at if you can get injury free, and you know that injuries has got a massive part to play with it. Massive, huge.
I also think sometimes it's easier for a forward, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but.
But they have a break, don't they?
And it's not only that, but if you notice, it doesn't matter to them whether they lose the speed or not. So what you find is people like Jamie Peacock and people like Moz can play to a certain age.
Well, they never had speed in the first
place. No, that's what I'm saying. So they can kind of get away on the guile and their experience and their toughness.
Yeah, and they get stronger as they get older.
Yeah,
they get stockier and chunkier. I mean, Ross, you got your best years as a front rower. You got your best years ahead of you.
Ahead of you.
24 is just when you start getting good.
Whereas us, when you're an halfback, you kind of feel like you're in your peak about 27, though, don't you?
Really? I peaked out about 21.
I felt like playing best rugby about 26, 27, then literally the wheels fell off big time.
I got to admit, I learned how to play the game better in the back end, but I used to think to myself, gosh, if I knew that knowledge then, when I had the tools.
The speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could marry them both together, you're laughing.
Little man and big man sport. Leon, what about you, mate?
Have you
got better with age?
Like a fine line? I've always been good. Holy shit, I'm kidding. No,
but yeah,
I think for me, it's like as you get older, you get wiser, and you also, I think for me, the hardest bit was fitness, doing my fitness, doing a bit of gym work.
That was the hardest thing for you, fitness. Hardest thing for you, fitness, when you were 17.
Yeah, no,
it's not when you're 30 something.
I'm saying it's always been the hardest part for me. Playing rugby's easy. It's a laugh, isn't it?
Actually a lie. I remember when you were 18. You outstripped absolutely everyone in the team from a fitness point of view.
Oh, yeah, I know that, yeah.
It wasn't the capacity of what you were able to actually do. It was your mindset in actually doing
it. Yeah, I'm only blaming myself. I've got nobody else to blame on myself. I'm just saying, like, in 2008 was my best season.
He was like
season.
Kip Kanui. We did this long run. He was gone. We couldn't see him.
But, yeah, I think for me, I was in really good shape. 2008, I trained really hard. I had a really, really, really good pre-season. I was in good nick at World Cup year. 2008 was probably my best year, yeah. That were about 28, 29, somewhere, I don't know.
Right in that prime, mate.
Yeah, real prime, that prime age, yeah. Dominant, absolutely dominant.
So back to Lynchy, he can do it, 21 games as a...
He'll do it, he'll do it easy. He's got another 2 years in him, Lynchy, easy.
And like we said, that position,
he'll do it
like a fine wine.
Definitely do it.
Danny Maguire, uncertain of his future, last contracted season this year.
The big thing there is what Luke was talking about there is speed. Mags was an exceptionally fast player. His thing was support player. Nobody could get anywhere near him. And as a six, speaking to somebody else who's relied a lot on speed, it's too hard to maintain as you get to 34, 35.
He's been one of the all-time great. He's scored more tries than anybody else in Super League. He's been class. Whatever you say about Danny Mags. And what I've liked about him the last few years, talking about his speed, he's adapted his game slightly. He actually plays with a little bit more control now. And because he can't rely on his speed to be up the middle, and a bit like Sean Edwards' support game, he actually sets up a lot more now, and he actually looks a lot more controlled in his play. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think that's the greatest attribute that he had. It was his speed.
Do you think over the years, as a Leeds Rhinos player, obviously as one of their marquee players and a club man for them, as someone that they've built a team around, do you think a negative for him is that they've never actually had a halfback developer as a head coach or as part of their coaching staff?
Well, he said this before in an interview, which I find, I thought very brave of him, really. But he said before he thinks there's a lack of halfbacks within the English competition coaches. And I'm inclined to agree with him, really. He thinks there could be a bit of a niche, really, where I suppose Andrew Johns does it a lot, doesn't he, in Australia? He goes into clubs and just gets their halves. I know there's a lot of
coaching clinics.
Yeah, coaching clinics. He's come over before and done Warrington. He's actually just got the halves with Warrington in the pre-season in Lanzarote. And, I think Danny Mags were talking about that. He needs to be more of an influence.
It needs more than a pre-season, doesn't it? It needs to be, sustained, constant trend, working and sharpening the sword. They do it down under. Could there be? Obviously, down under is where they develop the best ball-playing halfbacks. Do you not think that there could be some value in contracting some of these big names from back home?
Listen,
why am I getting you out of a job? Do you want that job, Robert?
Oh, man, I can do both. Don't worry about that.
You can't even turn up here on time.
For me, it's not that. Look, when we've been speaking about Bradford Bulls before. Halifax have had money troubles of late. Sheffield have. And that, Wakefield in the past. When you go to a rugby union set, which I have done now, started my coach and started going to different clubs, they've just got coaches coming from everywhere. They have a kicking coach, an attacking coach, a defensive coach. They have analysts.
Four physios.
They just have everything, whereas in rugby league, we do not have the funds to get different coaching. You pretty much have your three coaches.
Do you not think there may be there's too much of a reliance on your playing squad? Because actually, when you look at a lot of the playing squads, the squads are too big. Obviously, we're not talking about the Bradford Bulls in their situation right now, but a lot of clubs have their squads are too big, too deep, and actually some of that money could be spent on other elements of the business. And that's why again, the balance needs to be right, because if you've got all these these prize horses, but you've not got a decent trainer to actually look after them, and enough trainers to make sure that they get the right direction, get pointed in the right direction, then the prize horses are going to be inefficient.
I'm having this exact same argument at the moment, mate, but I could do it bringing you in with me, really, as a bit of a backup.
that's because we've got all these donkeys as actual head coaches. This has been a big argument for us. We're all halfbacks here. We've had too many front rowers coaching this competition. So we have a big problem for the game. Now, normally I speed up the last minute. We're actually only about 30 seconds to go. But I just thought we'd slow it down a little bit and come at it approach it a little bit different. I'm actually going to just waffle until we go out anyway. It's been absolutely brilliant having you guys on the show. It's been a laugh a minute. Obviously, all of us that are not involved with the Bulls hope you guys it gets sorted out as soon as possible, and we hope you can get back to competing ways and winning ways. All right, that's all for us this afternoon. If you want to listen again, we'll upload the show on the website at pulse1.co.uk/RHP show in about 10 minutes. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks again.
On Pulse One, Wednesday evening from 6:00.